Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Jesus said, a little while, and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while, and you will see me. You may be seated. There are two little whiles Jesus speaks about in the gospel reading today. The first little while is what you heard a few weeks ago as Jesus was handed over to men, tortured, crucified, died, and laid in a tomb. People saw him and wept, and then they did not see him as the tomb was sealed. The world, those who wanted him dead, rejoiced as they thought they had ended the Son of God. They had killed him indeed, but God's power is made perfect in weakness. Jesus has destroyed death by his death, and he has paid the price you owe God as he satisfied God's wrath in your place on the cross. Proclaiming this, he is raised from the dead, and the sorrow of God's people was turned to joy. They saw him again. Even Thomas, doubting Thomas, who doubted the resurrection at first, saw Jesus. This is the first little while, your Lord's passion and resurrection. Now you are living in this second little while. But in this second little while, there are three promises Jesus makes. Listen again to the words of the Lord. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish, for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. So in those words of our Lord, their first promise is that you will have sorrow. The second promise is you will see Jesus again and your sorrow will be turned into joy. And the third promise is that no one will take that joy from you. Now, understanding that you will have sorrow is to understand what it means to live in this world under the cross and in this veil of tears. There's no mincing words when it comes to these things. And in fact, trying to beat around the bush is really just to make things worse. Denial or thinking you won't face sorrow in life doesn't help anyone. It's odd, though, to think about what Jesus says. He promises that you will have sorrow in this world. But in this saying to you, he is doing something. He's preparing you to face it as one who sees sorrow through the eyes of Christ. He's showing you, teaching you how, as a Christian, you face these things as sorrow is couched and seen through the hope of joy. Now, interestingly, Jesus uses that image of a woman in labor to describe your life in this world as a Christian. So why this image used by Jesus? Well, labor is labor. There's pain. A woman in labor is a visible image of the curse given in Genesis 3 when God said to Eve, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing, and pain shall you bring forth children. Labor itself is part of that promise. Yet amid this pain, life comes forth from the womb. A person who was already living in the womb of his mother now comes to be seen. No longer is there any wondering what the baby will look like, and if you have waited to find out the sex of the baby you see, if this baby is a boy or a girl. I was telling the people at the Bible study, we always like to be surprised with our kids. And especially after you have four girls, you just assume you're having girls. Right? I was convinced Evangeline, our third daughter, whose birthday was Friday, was going to be a boy, but she was a girl, because we just have girls. But then when Boyd was born, who was the only one delivered by a male OBGYN, he held him up and goes, it was a boy. And so there was joy. Also, our faces, I think, could have picked up our chins from the floor. So through the labor, through the pain, through the travail, and yes, suffering, joy is known. Joy is seen. Joy is experienced, as Jesus says. So the Christian life, your life in Christ, is lived in this little while where suffering, sorrow, and grief, they're all around you and at every corner. The reason is because sin is in this world. And so too, the devil seeks to devour you. The devil, the world, and your own fallen flesh are the sources of temptation and all kinds of evil in your life that you face during this little while. Those things which are sinful and evil, God guards you against, and he keeps you in his care and delivers you from them as he provides the way of escape in the case of temptation. And yes, even as he is ultimately defeated, sin, death, and the devil, by his perfect life and death of Jesus, in whom you are baptized and share in this victory. You're living in this little while of sorrow. Now, another element in this life is considering the sorrow is from God himself. The introit comes from Psalm 66. And in Psalm 66, this is said, "Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance." So in this little while, as you face sorrow, as you face different things, sometimes you even face and bear crosses that God himself sends you. As Christian, God tells you that. Now, he never causes evil or never is the source of sin, but he does try you, test you, and even lay burdens on you in ways which are not always pleasant. But when this occurs, you come out of this refined and better off for it. So the Christian life is a cruciform life. It's a life that lives under the cross and daily dies to sin, daily rises to new life. It's a life, too, that looks at this world and knows that God is known in and through suffering, because God is no stranger to suffering, even as your Lord is the crucified Lord who suffered for you. The Son of God, God in the flesh, he suffered. And why should you, as his children, expect anything different? Understand, too, when God does give you times of trial or testing, you receive them as children, for the Lord disciplines those whom he loves. And this is a mark of your sonship as his children, as the letter to the Hebrews teaches you. Now, that epistle reading also teaches you something. It instructs you about this life as a Christian in this little while and how you are to conform your life as one who belongs to Christ. Listen again to those words of God through the pen of St. Peter. "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust, for this is a gracious thing. When, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God." So as you think about all of this and who you are as children of God, whom he has born through the baptismal waters, those waters give you life. And there is great joy in this new birth and new life you have in Christ. In this little while of this life, and as you suffer, you live in this world. But what does God say you are? Sojourners. Exiles. And those are telling things in and of themselves when you think about what it means for you living in the little while. You're still in the world, though, and God uses you and others for his order and good. And this little while is marked so much by the confession of Christ that you have been given, and that speaks volumes as you love God and love your neighbor. Even as God's people, you call a thing what it is, because you know during this little while what God has given you to do. You know what is good. You see the world around you, and you rejoice in what is truly good as God teaches you and what he promises you. So in this little while, well, even if you should be called evil, or what you and the whole church's faithful confession should be mocked or reviled or called evil, the Lord is good. You rejoice in that good. And you see in this, too, that there's a freedom to really live. in that good and fight for that good. Your freedom from sin, death, and the devil is no cover-up for evil, but a stand for righteousness and life as servants of God. You have life, and you rejoice in life. You know that this is but a little while, and this God to which you have been made a servant is the God who has died for you and the world, and the God who gives you eternal life. And so you're bold in your confession. You're confident in your confession. As St. Peter said, for what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. So even as our Lord Jesus was and is hated, Jesus alone is the one who forgives sin and raises the dead, even as he himself is raised. Now, those other promises of Jesus then speak volumes as well as you go through this life, this little while. Hear again what your Lord says. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. That's what Jesus places before your eyes today, which gives you meaning, gives you encouragement and hope as you go through this life, which has great sorrow, this life of labor. Every year, I'm reminded of stanza 2 of the great hymn, Lord, Thee I Love With All My Heart. And that hymn, the faithful hymn writer Martin Schalling wrote beautifully, Yea, Lord, 'twas thy rich bounty gave my body, soul, and all I have in this poor life of labor. Lord, grant that I in every place may glorify thy lavish grace and help and serve my neighbor. Let no false doctrine me beguile, let Satan not my soul defile. Give strength and patience unto me to bear my cross and follow thee. Lord Jesus Christ, my God and Lord, in death thy comfort still afford. So lest we forget, then, the Lord reminds us of who we are, and he promises that we will see him again. That vivid image Jesus presents of a woman in labor, giving birth. Her sorrow has come, but the joy that is placed before us. And so when we try to define then joy without understanding, without looking at what is the end goal, what is looking at what God teaches us as good and what is eternal and what he promises that our hearts will rejoice in, and we lose sight of that, he calls us back to repentance, to fix our eyes again back on Jesus, to turn from our sin, to turn back to him in that new life. So there's a reason then why patience then is a fruit of the Spirit too. In our own fallen flesh, we aren't patient. We're the very opposite, or at least very selective in our patience. We see the little while in our life, and it's easy for that to become the big while, or forget and lose sight of that it is but a little while. Going back to that image, ask a woman in labor who's been pushing for 2 hours how little amount of time that really is in the span of her life, and she'll probably punch you, and she should, because you shouldn't ask that question to a woman in labor. Not that I've done that, but still, I know not to do it. But think about those things. The Lord promises us joy. He promises us the little while. But yet, we forget about patience, godly patience, which is a fruit of faith in Christ. When you don't look to the future and know what you have been given in Christ and is yours in the waters of your baptism, you will lose sight of what is to come. It's a real danger. And so God calls you to not forget, that glory to come, and that this suffering and bearing crosses is but a little while, or forget or reject that new person that God has created you to be in Christ, and then enter back into that yoke of slavery to sin that we've been delivered from. And think, well, it's okay, I have time, how I live according to my means and how I want and not what God calls me to be. But God calls us to stay awake. Remember, it's but a little while. And so Jesus then promises you that third promise. I will see you again and your hearts will rejoice and no one will take your joy from you. Jesus is living and he is here now and he is coming again. So notice then what he promises that there is no mention of a little while in this joy. That last promise that no one will take the joy from you. He doesn't say, and in that little while, no one will take the joy from you. He doesn't say, and you'll have joy for a time, and then that'll be nice, and you'll enjoy that, and then that's the end of that. No. It's eternal. It's eternal life. Sorrow, lament, suffering, sin, death, those are a little while. Salvation that Jesus has accomplished, that he gives to you, that's yours, that's forever. So that's what you rejoice in, dear saints of God, on this Jubilate Sunday. With high delight, let us unite in songs of great jubilation. Christ has birthed forth from death. And you have this victory, dear saints of God. Yes, it is a little while, and you will have sorrow. But rejoice amid the sorrow and see your Lord in his care for you. Find solace in his life-giving words and sacraments. You are at peace with God through the blood of Christ. Pray to him, knowing that he hears and answers your prayers, that he sends the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. For your Father hears and answers you as you are his dear children, redeemed in his dear Son. And know that a little while is just that. It's a little while. And you know something? Jesus is coming. He's coming again, and you will see him face to face. So as a woman goes through labor and then rejoices as she holds her child in her arms, be of good courage in this life of labor, knowing for what purpose you endure, and know what awaits you. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Joy is on the horizon as you look to Christ and see him crucified and risen for you, and rejoice in him. He is the crucified one, and he lives, and so do you, and so shall you. For Jesus said, so also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.